Welcome to Masters in E-commerce and Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Andrew Strauss, and I'm here today with Ryan Carter. Dude, this guy is awesome. I don't know if I'm going to tell you a little bit of his backstory, and then you're going to be amazed about this guy. So he has been in the social media space about 7 years, 6 years. So started with, he's got Parachute Media, which is like the top, voted the top place to work in Nashville, right? Which is awesome.
Yes.
Congrats on that. He works with some of the big brands like REI and Merrill, which are huge. And he is a social media, runs campaigns and does really great stuff for all these sites. And he's got this site called Camping with Dogs that he started sort of time frame with this. And, you know, he's moved from the you hear about the entrepreneurs working in their garage or basements. This guy did it. He moved from his garage into a really cool office there in Nashville. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about today about how he grew. This stat is amazing, by the way. The Camping with Dogs hashtag, he's got like 900,000 posts. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and just three years ago.
That's amazing.
I've got the screenshot somewhere. I've actually been searching for it over the past couple of days, but I have a really early screenshot that actually shows the number of hashtags the pieces of content that were underneath that hashtag. And it was only like 250 total. Wow. Now it's about to eclipse 900,000 on its way to a million.
That is amazing. Crazy. That's amazing. Yeah. So he's going to share his idea, how he grew his sort of Instagram account from 0 to 500,000 revenues in the 6-7 figures, right? It's like that. And in just in 3 years. And so Ron's going to go share that and how he leveraged this into getting clients into this and how you should think about your sort of social media when you're doing things with a purpose to go about that. So, hey, Ryan, you know, if I forgot anything, fill us in and let's hear the journey.
Camping with Dogs has started out of a very authentic place. I've got three dogs. At the time, I only had two, so I've acquired another one for the past 3 years. And I love doing everything with them. So any way that I can incorporate dogs into my life, I absolutely do. In fact, at Parachute now, dogs outnumber people at the office on almost any given day of the week, which, as a side note, we need to get a policy in place for dogs to be a little distracting, but we are a dog-friendly workplace. I always think that some of the best ideas come from places where you've got a personal passion behind it, because if you start on any endeavor, eventually it's going to feel like a job. I mean, even the things you really, really like a lot, you're going to have days when it just feels like a job. So if you're building a new idea or a new brand out of a place where you're already passionate about that fits naturally into your lifestyle, then you've got a better chance of, I think, succeeding rather than just doing it for the sake of money. Right. So I noticed that on Instagram, it's like 11 o'clock at night that I had this idea that on Instagram, people were tagging pictures of their dogs as they were like on their hiking trips or going camping. And I noticed that they didn't know what hashtags to use. They were using kind of random hashtags to describe their activity. And then they also weren't tagging any brands, which I felt to be kind of surprising. There's a lot of great dog brands out there, but they weren't tagging them, which maybe meant that those other brands out there weren't doing a good job engaging their community. So I felt like, well, maybe I could create a lifestyle brand for the outdoorsy dog owner. Right. And just create content around that. If you notice, I never said I want to create a brand to monetize. So it started out of this space where I wanted to create really interesting content that allowed people to feel an experience. So it could be people that don't have a dog that have thought about getting one that would love to go camping and hiking. So this is a source of inspiration. Or it's people that do have a pet and they're like, I don't know if my dog is capable of doing this. Now this gives them a place to connect with other people and to be inspired by other people that are going camping, hiking with their dogs. So starting off, all the content was centered around a very basic principle. We want to recreate experiences online that people have in real life without any other expectation. It wasn't until 3 or 4 months into it that we had built up probably 10 or 15,000 followers that people started asking for our brand mark on things like shirts and stickers and beer koozies. Not once did it ever cross my mind that maybe I could put this on a shirt, people would buy it. I thought that was kind of a crazy concept, because here I am as a freelancer doing social media for small businesses in Nashville out of my basement. And I've got this really cool, you know, Instagram account that I'm growing. Never once thought about monetizing it. And so then with a very small amount of money, I bought a set of like maybe 48 t-shirts. So like 12 in each size, small through XL. And I bought some beer koozies and some stickers. Right. I put it all online. I remember my first picture, like I basically did a selfie in the shirt that I was wearing. And I put that onto, at the time I wasn't using Shopify. I think I was using Squarespace e-commerce. I'm not a web designer guy, so anything is drag and drop. It'd be a lot easier for me to do. So I started off on a very basic platform that didn't have all the bells and whistles that Shopify does. And I sold out at everything in like 72 hours, completely. Wow. Shopify. My very first sale was only for one beer koozie, which I was selling for $5. So with tax and shipping, it might be like $7. I was ecstatic. I mean, I remember the first sale that came through, and I got the little ding on my phone that sounds like a dollar sign, cha-ching. I was like, oh my goodness, someone actually bought my product. And so from there, things kind of started to snowball. I reinvested everything that I earned into buying more and more product. I did a better job of creating content for myself and the products that we had. And I don't know if we've got time to talk about it, but I can make it really quick. There was one pivotal moment in growing Camping with Dogs that shaped what it is today. And it all comes from, I created a fake national holiday. I felt like if there was like a national margarita day and a national taco day, which there should absolutely be, those should be widely celebrated across America multiple times a month. At least I do on a weekly basis. I created National Camping with Dogs Day. And I said it was like September 14th or something. It was a Saturday. And the plan was to leverage this day to get some bigger media publications to talk about me. So I wrote a blog post called 25 Ways Dogs Make the Best Camping Companions. I wrote it very similar to a BuzzFeed style. Basically just 25 pictures from some of our influencers and ambassadors with cute captions. That's it. I did a brief intro into National Camping with Dogs Day. And then I did something kind of cool. So I'm not a PR background. I don't have contacts at BuzzFeed or HuffPo, Condé Nast, but I do know how to use Facebook ads. So I took the blog post and I put it over onto my Facebook page. I let it organically get some reach and engagement. And then I used a $50 ad budget and I allocated probably $10 to my fans. And then another $40 went to targeting people by job title and by workplace. Yeah. And so after I let my post on my Facebook page get some social proof, some vanity metrics with likes, comments, and shares, I then targeted people that were chief editors or a writer at Condé Nast, at HuffPo, at Yahoo Travel. And I let that run for about a week and a half. It wasn't a large group of people. It was maybe 300 or 400 people tops.
Right.
But it was the right people. It was people that were already assigned to create this content. And I basically gave them a huge home run. Like I built the same content they would probably repost. I got an email about a week after the campaign ended from the chief editor at Yahoo Travel asking to do a story about National Camping with Dogs Day in our Instagram account that we had grown. I was like, you gotta be shitting me. That actually worked. I thought it was kind of a long shot, but as soon as Yahoo Travel posted about us and they did the same thing that we essentially did, except they only used like 10 images in their own captions, but it was all linking back to our Instagram account. So after they published us, every single brand, huge publication worldwide started to. I don't know what it's like to be a Kardashian or a Taylor Swift, but man, in the month of September, every single time I hit refresh, it was a new few thousand people. I didn't do anything in the month of September of that first year of building that brand than just hitting refresh on Instagram. The day that BuzzFeed and Snapchat featured us, it was growing at 4,000 and 5,000 a minute.
Oh my gosh.
Like I thought it was gonna get flat. Like this account's gonna get taken down because they're gonna think this is spam, something's up.
Yeah.
But that month we grew from 80,000 to 160,000 followers on Instagram. And then I followed up that next month and a half with doing about $90,000 in sales on our website.
Wow.
Which is for a first year and not having all that planned out, it was definitely a lot of things that caught me off guard and by surprise, but that's just the foundation for everything that's happened since then, though.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing story. I mean, yeah, I mean, I've heard that, the Dennis Yu of like spending $5 or $10 and trying to hit those people in Facebook, you know, that can work. There is proof in the pudding right there. I mean, that's it. I mean, so from that kind of led into, other sorts of ventures, right? So did Merrill and then REI find out about you and started to grow that way? Like, how did that?
Yeah. So Merrill was one of our first contacts that came through our DMs, basically, on Camping with Dogs. And then I realized, oh, wow, like all these brands that I already purchased from, I'm already a fan of. I follow them on social media. They're starting to come to us now because, you know, at this point in time, we're gaining on 200,000 plus followers. We've got incredible engagement for our size, that they're wanting to do campaigns with us. Well, at that point in time, also in September, the month that our account went viral online, I had also gotten out of the basement. I hired my very first employee at Parachute Media. I got my first office space. I let go of a lot of smaller paying clients and basically said, look, I'm going to really try to go for this now. It was at that point in time that I noticed that a global brand could come to me and I could put together a campaign for them through Camping with Dogs, but as my new company, Parachute Media. And I was able to go through that entire process and deliver great results from the campaign. I could give them incredible content, which, in terms of cold calling and sales, I mean, that's not really fun for a lot of people to do, right. But I was able to build some trust first with where my skill set was as a creative and building an ad agency. And so after that first campaign, Merrill actually became a full scale client for us a few months later. In fact, we are, I think we've been with them now for a little over 2 years, and we've had an opportunity to help guide and lead them in a lot of really cool campaigns on digital and social.
Wow, that's awesome. So basically, from what you created, this sort of hobby, love kind of, for yourself, renders into things. So when you're doing for brands, are they basically the outdoor type of brands, and then you're leveraging what CWD is, and then kind of like they're picking out that, or that like they are going to want other types of things, and you're sort of building, you built this sort of like this sort of brand with CWD. Do you build those types of things with other kinds of brands, and is that kind of how that you're growing their social on there?
I think having an audience in the outdoorsy world is a great advantage as I go pitch to other outdoor brands. Because a lot of times we've got more followers than what they do. We've got better engaged fans than what they do. We've got a group of ambassadors that are incredible that I've seen grow from 2,000 or 3,000 followers upwards of 30 and 40 plus K each. So by having that in our back pocket does help us. But in terms of Parachute Media, we're a lot more than just Camping Dogs, though. Right. I've got a full suite of people that can do everything from the digital ad buys to a producer that can help build out some of our bigger pieces of creative to the copywriter. So the end goal really is to get some of these larger outdoor brands into Parachute in a non-confrontational, non-salesy sort of way where they can do a fairly easy campaign like a contest or a giveaway, which is a really good intro into Parachute Media. And I'm doing that at no cost. And that seems to be a really effective sales tool for us. Now, to go back to your first part of your question was, is this something that we just solely focus on? And the answer is no. Okay. I do have clients in the outdoorsy or the dog pet space. But that's not a core focus. I really like the variety of being able to take case studies that we might have in the outdoor space and apply it to maybe a personal injury attorney.
Mm, okay.
Well, I think having that variety keeps us on our toes and allows us to learn from other industries and then apply that to another client that might be in a different field, completely unrelated.
Right, right, right. And as you're growing these things, like, is the idea that, like, once you do get these kinds clients on, I mean, is it the user generated content? Do you have to come up with this type of stuff? Like, how do you grow account? Because I think the big challenge with a lot of people is like content creation, right? It's like, what do I do for my Instagram or my Facebook account or, you know, my stories on Instagram? Like, what do I do? Like, that's a big problem, I think, most of the time with most.
Yeah, I would say user generated content is the backbone of everything that Camping with Dogs is. I mean, even if you scroll through the feed, it's going to be tough to pick out at times what stuff is things that we created in-house that's geared towards a sale. Especially now on Instagram, you can tag a product in an image from an influencer or an ambassador. That's incredibly helpful. Right. But getting a group of people, like core ambassadors or influencers that really believe in your brand and that would like to see it grow and that are also great content creators is something that a lot of brands need to have in their back pocket. Because at times, creating content is expensive, regardless if you're doing it in-house or if you are hiring an agency to do it. You've got to be thinking well in advance. Like with Merrill, with a lot of our content shoots, we're doing stuff 6, 8, 9, 10 months in advance of the actual due date. For a lot of smaller brands, you don't have that bandwidth or that luxury. You're kind of waking up each day and like, oh, it's Tuesday. What am I going to post today?
Right.
So getting out ahead of that curve, at times having UGC allows you to do that. And then you can sprinkle in some of your own content that you've built that maybe has a stronger story to tell. And so you've got your tent stake, like polls as your main pillar content throughout a content calendar, but then other smaller content that you can kind of fill in the gaps with. And that could be stuff from ambassadors and influencers. So.
Right. Yeah. Because that's what I've heard from other people. Like, you know, once you get to that, like 15, 20, it starts to people start giving you images to post. Right. So it makes it a lot easier. And then you can just write a little tag, some hashtags, whatever comments, you know, or the caption of the thing. And then you've got that content that, you know, that, okay, I got a week's worth of stuff and let me throw in a promotional post or, you know, my t-shirt thing or whatever it is you're mixing in that content kind of, right? So that's kind of how you can kind of grow it. Because you find like, I mean, in terms of like Instagram itself, I mean, do your clients find that they like to be on one particular, either Facebook or Instagram? Do they finding that Facebook is just a too old of an audience now and that they think Instagram is the where it's all at?
I think across all of our clients, there's definitely some fatigue with Facebook. It's kind of one of those things where you have to have it, but you've also got to play to make it relevant or worth a lot of your time. I think there are a few instances where maybe you don't need to always apply an ad budget to what you're doing on Facebook. But I would say the large majority of our clients definitely put an emphasis on Instagram and Instagram strategy and organic engagements on Instagram. Whereas trying to necessarily always predict that for Facebook might be a little more difficult, but I would say for the clients that we have that there's definitely a stronger emphasis on Instagram paramount to any of the other platforms. But definitely having an ad budget helps, but knowing how to use it helps even more post button doesn't necessarily mean actually probably not going to get a whole lot if you just do that.
Right.
But yeah, that's a challenge though with I would say all of our clients. It's a conversation that we internally have as an agency. I mean, we still go back and forth all the time on, you know, is it worth it to invest more dollars into a Snapchat campaign whenever it seems like all the engagement is over on Instagram and Instagram stories. So it's something that's always evolving and changing. And as long as you're having that continual conversation with clients and you're setting yourself up, I think in a better position to be better thought leaders in the space than being entirely reactive.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of the thing, right? You've got to test multiple spokes in a wheel to see which one and where your audience really drives or drives sales or engagement and things like that. So you're always kind of testing, which is cool. And that's really the help of an agency kind of thing. I mean, for like a one-off person, if you're doing it yourself, it's really hard. I mean,
if you are in charge of running a business, that's tough enough. I mean, you're pulled in a million directions anyways. Do you have to slow down and focus on content creation and the frequency of my posting habits and then digging into the analytics of, is this working or not? I think that's where agencies really come into play at, because our people do this 24/7, 365 days a year. That's what we live in. So we're also able to pull from all of our other clients and maybe see changes that are happening in a market that I would otherwise not know unless we had those clients.
Sure. Cool. Awesome. Well, hey, Ryan, I mean, I don't want to take much more of your time. I know that you're a busy guy. the insights are awesome. I mean, guys, listen, if you are looking at thinking about, you know, starting and growing your Instagram page or Facebook, whatever it is, get engagement. Think about not the end result of making money first, more on the side of, do you love this? Is there a passion? Could you do this on a continual basis if there's no money coming in, right? I mean, that's kind of basically it till you get out of the basement, right? So can you deal with that on that. So I did want to ask you a quick thing. So of your tool, like, do you have like a favorite tool that you use of your choice? Or if that's not you so much, is there a book or like things or websites that you stay current with trends and things that are kind of going on?
I'm actually taking a look at my bookshelf. off the top of my head, two books come to mind and they're on my bookshelf. The first one's called Shoe Dog. It's about Phil Knight and, he started Nike. An incredible story of Nike almost never made it as a company. So it's an incredible story of just how to overcome severe adversity. And the other one's a book called No by Jim Camp. And it's the power of saying no and feeling really strongly and not always saying yes to everything, but also how to hear the word no and eventually turn that into a yes.
Yeah.
And then in terms of other maybe like sites or tactics to stay on top of things, I'm really fortunate that our employees are like charged with creating blog content or internal case studies off of the clients that they have and the campaigns that they're running. So I'm actually able to stay abreast on current trends and happenings by what my team at Parachute Media is putting together on a regular basis on campaign performance. So sometimes that gives me better real-time info than hoping I scroll through my Facebook feed to see an article from AdAge on what's current and trending. So definitely look internally first for answers before I go external.
Cool. Awesome. So, all right. So where can people find you, you know, more about you, about Parachute Media, if they want to get, you know, use your services, things like that? What's the best way to contact you guys?
Yeah. So without giving my cell phone number, I tend to be the easiest to reach via text message, but you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Nashville Ryan. And then you can follow our ad agency. You can follow us on Instagram at Parachute Media. Twitter is going to be parachute.co. Or you can go take a look at our website where there's more information just about the services that our company offers. Also a bit about me and how I started Parachute Media and a little bit more of a backstory than we couldn't get into today. And that's going to be www.parachutemedia.co.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Ryan, I appreciate the time. Learned a ton. And this has been great. So thanks for coming on and we'll chat soon.
Thanks. Bye.